Excited to be with you all this week, and just want to thank you all for your hospitality and your generosity and just the fellowship that we've had with you guys already. And we're just excited, very excited to be with you. I figured I would get the elephant out of the room really quick, address the elephant in the room, I guess I should say. So I did not wear my pajamas to church today, okay? This is basically would be equivalent to a suit in Africa, maybe even a tuxedo in the Ivory Coast. So this is what you would wear to church, maybe what you would wear to a wedding or something like that, maybe even a funeral or something. So I'll be wearing a couple of things throughout the week, so this will give you a bit of a clue of what they wear there in the Ivory Coast. And we're just really excited that God has called us there and can't wait to get there. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. I was told that I have 20 minutes. But I tell people that I've always been a short preacher, so I think we'll be okay. Luke chapter 24. And once you turn there, we'll begin with a quick word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word together. I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that you would give me the words to say and help me not to say anything that I shouldn't. And we love you and ask this all in your name. Amen. So Luke chapter 24 happens right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified, and he was buried and rose from the dead, and now he's beginning to show himself to his disciples. And two of those disciples are walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and Jesus joins them as they are walking. And it's obvious to Jesus, as he joins them, that these two men are sad, that they're discouraged, they're confused. Like many of the Jews at that time, they thought that Jesus was going to be their political deliverer, that he was going to deliver them from the Romans in some spectacular way. And then he was crucified. He didn't do it. And so these men were confused by the events of the past few days. They were discouraged, basically because God did not do what they wanted him to do. I just want to point out this evening that we have much in common with these two men. We get sad and discouraged and confused when God doesn't do what we think he should be doing. And tonight, if you see nothing else through this message, I'd like you to see the importance of walking with Jesus. And we're going to see that at the beginning, these two men are sad and discouraged, confused, but just by spending some time with Jesus, taking a walk with Jesus, they went from discouragement to joy. And you and I can do the exact same thing today. I like to go fishing sometimes. Does anybody in here like to go fishing? Okay, good. All right, we got a few fishermen in here. So one day I was out fishing on the pond, and I caught a little bass. It was probably about 6 inches long or so, not very big. But I wanted to take a picture of this bass to send it to my friends who also liked fishing. Just, you know, I was having a good time. And so I got that fish, and how do you think I took a picture of it? You think I set it out on the ground and stood back and took a nice proper picture? No, that's not what I did. I held that fish as close to the camera as I possibly could, so it looked enormous in the picture, right? Actually, it wasn't that big. And oftentimes in our lives, we do the exact same thing. We turn our problems this way and that. We get up close to them. We inspect them. But when we spend time with Jesus, we realize that, hey, it's not such a big deal. Jesus had a plan. He knew this was going to happen all along. So, real quick, just three things that happen when we walk with Jesus. And we'll begin reading here in verse 13 of Luke chapter 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? Now understand, Jesus Christ knew very well what things they were talking about. He's God. He was part of those events even. So continue on. And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And we don't have time to read the next few verses here, but in verses 20 through 24, they go on to explain the events of the last few days and how they thought he was going to deliver them, politically, and he didn't. He was crucified. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The first thing that happens when we spend time with Jesus, when we walk with Jesus, is that walking with Jesus reveals areas of our life that need a change. Jesus took these men, and what he's saying here in these two verses was, hey, your perspective on this whole matter is wrong. Your attitude about this is wrong. If you had known the scriptures, if you had believed the prophets, you would have realized that this was all in God's plan, and their attitude was wrong. Now, sometimes, I don't know what it could be in your life, if you spend time with Jesus, he's very capable of pointing out areas of in your life that need a change as well. I can tell very quickly and very easily when my wife is upset or when she's happy, when she's having a good day or when she's having a bad day, right? How can I tell that? Because she's my best friend. I study her. I know her. In much the same way, Jesus knows you and I intimately. He's very capable of pointing out areas of our life that need a change when we spend time with him. So maybe there's something in your life that if you spend time with Jesus, he'll show you those areas of your life that need a change in order to make you more like him. A second thing that happens when we walk with Jesus, here we find this here in verse 27, walking with Jesus gives you answers to your questions. Let's read verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. These men were searching for answers, right? They didn't understand why Jesus was crucified. They didn't understand why he didn't do what they thought he should have done for them. They didn't understand why he didn't deliver them in this spectacular way. But they actually probably didn't understand that he would raise from the dead afterwards. And they were so confused by all these things. But what it's very interesting here. What was the very first thing that Jesus did? You know, Jesus could have been, as he's walking with these men, he could have said, here I am, ta-da, the answer to your questions, in the flesh, I rose from the dead. Guess what? He didn't do that, did he? What did he do? What was the very first thing that Jesus did? He went straight to the scriptures. And every time that you and I find ourselves in a situation like this, where we're confused by the circumstances, we don't understand what's going on, we must go directly to the scriptures. Because that's where we find answers. That's where Jesus wants to give us answers, but he does that through his word. What does the Bible say? What has God promised? How should I look at this situation? In the Ivory Coast, there is a large presence of the charismatic movement. That encompasses all kinds of denominations, from Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, all kinds of different denominations. And as a result of that, there are a lot of self-proclaimed prophets, men who said, God told me that you should do fill in the blank. And these men, it's sad because many of the Ivorians follow these men and look to these men for leadership. So one day, one of these self-proclaimed prophets came to my father-in-law's gate and knocked on the gate. And my father-in-law answered the gate, and this man said, I'm a prophet, and God told me that you were going to give me $200. Yeah. And so my wife's dad said, well, I'm sorry, but God didn't tell me that. And it's really sad, though, because people are looking to these guys for answers, looking to men for their answers, rather than looking to God. I think we find that in the same way in the States, people are looking for answers in all kinds of places except the scriptures, except the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling them that they should have known about this already because it was already written in the scriptures. And discouragement often starts in our lives because we are not reading and understanding God's word like we should be. Sometimes bad things happen in our lives and we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn because we haven't been living in God's word. One man said, Jesus opened the scriptures and then he opened their eyes. And that's how he operates with us today as well. Sometimes we want to understand, we want to know God's will 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, maybe what mission field he's calling you to or whatever it might be. But we have to have a walk with God before he's going to show us those things. We have to be walking with him step by step every day. In the Ivory Coast, I had a friend named Fulgence. Fulgence grew up in my father-in-law's church in the town of San Pedro, and he knew the scriptures very well. Fulgence at one time was teaching a Sunday school class in their church there to the kids. And during his later teen years, Fulgence got away from the Lord. He started hanging out with a bad crowd, started drinking alcohol, and doing some bad things. So during our time there, he came to me and he said, "Matthew, I want to come to your house and talk with you. I just don't understand what's going on in my life right now." So he comes to our house there, and we sat down and talked, and we talked over some different issues, and finally I asked him, I said, "Fulgence, are you reading your Bible every day?" And he hung his head and he said, "Matthew, I haven't read the Bible in years." Listen, if we are not spending time in God's Word every day, sometimes we're not even going to understand why we're not growing spiritually, why we're not doing the things that we should be doing, why we don't have God's strength to combat sin if we're not spending time with Him. You and I have to be in His Word every single day. So the next thing that we see, number three, that walking with Jesus changes your perspective. And let's continue on reading here in verse 28. "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them." Now notice here, just a side note, Jesus will not force himself on anybody. Jesus wants to spend time with each and every one of us, but he's not going to force himself on anybody. "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon.'" This word here in verse 32, the word burn, what does that mean? Does that mean they had some kind of heartburn from the bread they were just eating? Or what was that? Does that mean? No, it means this has the idea of emotional excitement, right? These guys had spent time with Jesus and they were excited by what they learned about him. If we are reading God's word, if we are spending time walking with Jesus day by day, you and I should be excited to share that with other people. We should be excited. We should be affected by what we learn from God's word. These men, actually, they were so excited that they were willing to go all the way back to Jerusalem that very night. It says this was already getting towards evening. Maybe it was already dark. And that was a distance of about 7.5 miles in between those two towns. These men didn't care. They were so excited by what they learned. They didn't care. They went all the way back that night. Not to mention the fact that they'd already done that distance once that day. That's how excited they were to share Christ with other people. Now, we see, remember at the beginning of the story, they're sad, discouraged, confused, right? We see a definite change in their attitudes. They went from that discouragement, that sadness, to joy and an excitement to share Jesus Christ with other people. How did they do that? Simply by spending time with Jesus. You and I can do the exact same thing today. One man said, "The best evidence that we have understood the Bible and met the living Christ is that we have something exciting to share with others." When you walk with Jesus, he changes your life, and you want to share that with other people. Now, just to wrap this all up here real quick, walking with Jesus puts everything back into the proper perspective. We realize that, hey, God had a plan. God knew this was going to happen. This wasn't a surprise to him. And when we spend time with him, we should be excited to share what we've learned about him with other people. You say, well, how do you walk with Jesus, right? What does that look like for us here today, right now? You talk with him and you listen to him, just the same way that you get to know any other friend. You spend time with them, listening to them and talking to them. We do that by reading his word every day and by talking to him through prayer every single day. Quite simple, hard to do sometimes. In the Ivory Coast, one thing that we notice is in many of these villages where people live in these mud brick huts in poverty, they have sometimes dirt floors, and if they're well-to-do, maybe a cement floor with a thatch roof. And what we saw in a village that would have electricity, most of those mud brick houses had a flat screen TV. You know, it's very interesting to me because we have time and money for what's important to us. You know, some people here in the States say, oh, I don't have time to spend with Jesus. You know what? We don't find time to spend with Jesus. We take time to spend with him. You have time and money for what's important to you. You ever think about in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were placed there, God gave them the liberty, the freedom to eat of all of the trees in the garden but one tree. So that one tree you are not allowed to touch. You are not allowed to eat of that one tree. And because if they would eat of that tree, it would break their relationship with God. And God had this amazing relationship with man. You ever think about why did God leave that one tree accessible to man? You know, if it were me, obviously I'm not God, but if it was me doing that, I would probably have dug a moat around that tree. I would have filled that moat with water and put alligators in there. I would have put barbed wire around that moat. I might have even, like, I don't know, put some machine gun nests around it, right? To make sure there was no possible way that man could ever reach that tree and break this amazing relationship that we had together. Why did God leave that accessible to man? I believe it's because of this. A relationship is not possible without a choice. You and I have the same exact choice that Adam and Eve had back in the Garden of Eden. Are we going to have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we going to spend time with him? Are we going to grow in that relationship with him? It's a choice, actually, that you and I make every single morning we get up. You know, for me, it's very tempting. I want to get up in the morning and I want to look at WhatsApp and Signal and maybe even Facebook to see what's been, you know, the chatter on the family group or whatever it might be. I want to get up and look at those things first, but it's a choice I have to make every single morning. Am I going to go to God's word first, speak with him, listen to him, deepen my relationship to him, with him before I go to all of those things? What about you? Will you make that choice today to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You say, well, what does that have to do with missions? Our theme, our missions revival this week. Well, actually, it has everything to do with that. Because you cannot give somebody something that you don't have. You can't share something with someone else that you don't have. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't share that with other people. Missions begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins with a walk with him. So how's your walk with Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity again to open your word. I pray that we'll think on these things throughout this week. I pray that you'll bless the preaching to come as well. And we love you. Ask this all in your name. Amen.